That's where I've learned to stand, and I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Amen. Thank you for the music. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, approaching this part of the service, Lord, we come behind this sacred desk with all reverence, dear God, knowing, Lord, the position that it puts us in, dear God, and Lord, realizing, dear God, that I need to yield to you, Lord, that you can come and speak to the people, Lord, and be a help and encouragement to them, Lord. I ask, Lord, today your blessings upon them by the word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. While you're standing, if you turn with me into your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I want to begin reading at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. You may be seated. I like to title this, Show Us the Father. Show Us the Father. Brother Branham said in the message, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. He said, let us take God in his universe, God in his word, God in his son, and then bring God down in his people and see if he isn't here in his people too. You know, there's many, about anything we look at in creation, we can see God. We can see the testimony of God, even the word of God being testified amongst nature. Brother Branham said that his first Bible was nature. And I think about how that the Bible talks about flowers raising up, and then you know, and they have a time of when they bloom, and then there's a time of when the flowers look like they die, and you don't see anything or even any sign that the flowers were ever there. And yet there's a seed down in under the ground that actually is a testifying that that flower had been there, and in the spring, it'll come back up again. I like that song Brother Terry Tidwell sings, There'll Be Another Spring. Brother Branham was talking in one message about two types of corn. One was a hybrid corn. It was man-made corn, and the other was the actual real life corn. And he said, you can take them and put them together and they both look the same. They look the same. He said, and if you was to cut them open, you couldn't tell the difference between them. But he said, the only way to tell the difference between them was to bury them. And he said, one of them would come forth and the other one wouldn't. One of them had life inside it. Science can't find that life. That's why when their creation of a hybrid, the hybrid can't reproduce itself back. There's times when the hybrid can look even better than the original, but it cannot reproduce itself. It can't bring back. There's no life in it. Science has not been able to tap into that life. Amen. That That life is something that can't be seen. Science has tried to tap into human life, and they can't. They can't tap into human life and figure it out. Why? It's something that's hidden secret. It's something that, because it's created by God. Now, I don't just want you to see God in nature because of the magnificence of it, but there's a magnificence to God's word. And we look at it in the action, action in nature. You remember Brother Branham when he went to up there to hunt that time with Brother Woods, and that was that infidel, he called him up there. And he they were asking if they could hunt there, and you know, Brother Branham never used anything but nature to talk to that infidel about to win him. He just talked about nature. Because nature itself testifies of God. And when he got that infidel to a place to where he didn't have any which way to turn. Brother Branham said, give a cow enough rope and it'll hang itself. And that's what he did. But he used nature to talk to the infidel and to win him. And I got to thinking about that and said, well, then in anything in nature, you can see God. And I think about things that, like, for instance, the earth. What holds the earth up where it's at? What holds it there? What makes it stay in place? What makes it orbit in the same place around the sun? What makes the earth rotate the way it does? You know, the earth is about 25,000 miles around at the equator. And every 24 hours, it makes a complete turn. That means the earth is turning at approximately 1,041 miles per hour. That's pretty fast. What keeps us on it? Well, you say, well, they say gravity does. Give me some gravity. Show me gravity. You can show me what it does, but you can't show me gravity. What is it? It's an unseen force. They say, well, it's because the world's spinning, it causes a gravitational pull and that. What made it that way? It was God. I look at those things and think, those science thinks they got it figured out. Brother Branham said they think they're going way off out here somewhere. One of these days they'll realize they're just going in a circle. But God created the whole thing. All the world, the sun, the moon, the stars. And what keeps them where they are? It's because God spoke it. That's why they are where they are. The sun stays where it is because God spoke it into existence. The world stays where it is not because of man scientifically proving it, figuring out why the world stays there. It stays there because God said, let there be. And there was. God created the world. It orbits around the sun at about 67,000 miles per hour. It's just unreal when I think about these things. Brother Branham said if man would just open his eyes and look around, he could see God everywhere. You could see God everywhere, in everything. I remember when my brother first gave his heart to the Lord, just a young teenager. And everything he looked at, boy, I tell you what, he would just get excited to see God. And, you know, we went past a bin and had a sign up said for sale. And he got all excited about that and said, well, I've been bought with a price. And you can just see God in everything if you just look. Open your eyes to it. Brother Branham was talking about being out one time in the wilderness, and he said, oh, great Jehovah, his eyes on the sparrow, how he stands in heavens, and his eyes look out and he sees every move. Not a sparrow can touch the ground without him seeing it. You see God in his sunset. Can't you see him that way? Think of him in the sunset or the sunrise. Then I happened to look, and where the sun was shining against the water, it made a rainbow across the canyon there. And I looked at the rainbow and I said, oh, glory to God. I just love to look at God in nature. And I said, looky there, you gave Noah the rainbow sign. Before that time, the water had never come this way, so the waters and the elements couldn't make the colors. Now you gave him the rainbow sign that you would never destroy the world no more by water. Then I happened to think about when John on the Isle of Patmos turned around and seen Jesus standing there and looked upon as a rainbow, his sardis and jasper stone, which was Reuben and Benjamin. Now he's talking about Revelation chapter 4 and 3. And the first and the last, which he is and which shall come, and root and offspring of David, the morning star, and over him was a rainbow, and with those seven golden candlesticks, meaning that he had a covenant for the seven church ages. And when the deep began to call the deep, old down in my heart, God, here I am up here supposed to be hunting, and I got real happy, and I set down my gun, and around the tree I went, just as shouting as hard as I could. Somebody come up there. They had put me in an institution for insanity. I was having a glorious time. They could say crazy if they want to. Don't make me no difference. I got my eyes on Calvary. I love him. I worship him. I seen him out there. God, there you are in the sunset, and here you are in the rainbow. There you are in the wolf, and here you are here in the elk. And oh, where are you, Lord? And here you are in my heart. And I said, glory to God, and around and around and around the tree I went. I was just having a big time, just a kicking up the brush and everything else. How God could be out of everything and then be in a heart too. I was reading Uniting Sign in Time, and Brother Branham was talking about the salmon. And he said how that they stay out in the ocean and then they come in to lay their eggs and to reproduce and that. And I got to looking that up. And out on the coast of British Columbia, there's a salmon that'll come in there, and they say they spend about 3 to 5 years out in the ocean to reach maturity. And then after they reach maturity, then they come into fresh water and go up the streams, and they fight against everything. They fight against the bears and all the other animals that try to prevent them, and they fight against the fishermen and everything else getting their way upstream in order to reproduce. And they said that they go back to where they were spawned at. They go back to where they came from. And I thought about that, and I thought, that's where we're going. We're going back to where we came from. They said that these salmon that were raised in hatcheries, that they've watched them come back, and where the pipe that kind of lets the water out, they've watched these salmon try to jump up into that pipe and get back into the hatchery because there's something, and they smell the water and they want to go back to where they came from. And I thought, that's us. We realized who we are, and we're wanting to go back where we came from. Want to go back to heaven. Amen. Leave this old world behind. We've been out here and we've grown and we've matured, and now it's ready for us to go back and produce the Son of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe there's a sixth sense that we have that tells us where we came from. And we're fighting through trials and everything else just to get back where we came from. There's no trials going to stand in our way. There's nothing going to discourage me. Nothing going to make me stop serving God. I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. And I ain't stopping for nothing. I got to studying about something else. It was some time ago I got to looking about this, about the monarch butterflies. And I like studying these different things about nature and watching films about nature and reading about it. And as I read about it, why I can't help but see God in it. And I looked at the monarch butterfly, and they eat when they come out as a caterpillar. Why? They eat this milkweed, and there's something in the milkweed that causes. They say it's a poison, but the milkweed, the thing they eat, is what protects them. And I thought that's the way it is with us. What we're protected by is the Word of God. Amen. And when they turn into a butterfly, why, they have an orange-like color to them. And that color wards off the birds and other animals that come to eat them. And it wards them off, that they see they're marked. And the birds recognize that they shouldn't touch them. And of course, if they would, it's poisonous to the birds. And I thought about the scripture where it says, touch not the oil or the wine. And, you know, the prophet said, looking at that, said there was one of the four beasts spoke and said, a measure of wheat for a penny and so forth. Said, but then the Bible says, a voice spoke out from amongst the four beasts. Brother Bram said there was a voice that spoke out from amongst the four beasts. It wasn't the four beasts. It was a lamb. It said, see thou hurt not the oil nor the wine. And Brother Branham talking about that oil and the wine, why, said the oil represented the Holy Spirit. And I thought about that where the scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. We're sealed with something. We're sealed by the Holy Ghost, and there's a mark on us. And you know what? Satan can try his best, but he can't harm us. And the voice said, see thou hurt not, because said, you're going to have to answer to me, Brother Branham said. And the wine represented stimulation by revelation. And I got to thinking about how they were in the upper room. And you know, they were tarrying up there, and maybe one of them would have said, well, maybe we've been up here long enough. You think, he said, wait on our ministry. But then, you know, one of them having the keys to the kingdom said, no, there's got to be something in the scripture about this. He said, wait until you're endued with power from on high. Wait until the promise of Joel has been fulfilled. And when they came out of there, why, they were so stimulated by the revelation of the word in a way that where the people around thought they was drunk. And I thought about that, thought how stimulated the church can become by revelation. And I thought if we would get to a place where we'd be so stimulated by the revelation of God. Amen. I think sometimes as we travel along, we've come down a long trail and we've been traveling, and I think sometimes we get our eyes off of what our eyes are supposed to be on. I think our eyes are supposed to be on what God is revealing to us and what he has revealed to us in this last day. And I think we get our eyes off in that. We get our eyes on little petty things sometimes, things that don't mean nothing to your salvation. But I think that, friends, we ought to have our eyes set on heaven as our goal. And we should, with joy, have joy in our hearts about the word that God's opened up to us. But has it become so commonplace to us to where we've lost, as David said, the joy of our salvation? Well, we need it restored to us if we've lost the joy of it. If we've lost the joy of the revealed word and what God has opened up to us in this last day, if we've lost the joy of that, then we need to do some praying until we get it back. We need to be happy about what, friends, it's like that song said, he didn't have to open my eyes. He could have easily passed me by, for the age I was living in was wretched, poor, and blind. Amen. But then I heard, recognizing your day. Amen. Hallelujah. I think we need to keep that in mind, recognizing the day we're living in. What should be our focus? Our focus should be upon God. Our focus should be upon the word. Amen.
not our focus on one another or what this one said or that one said or how this one's doing. Get our focus on God and His Word, where it ought to be. I tell you what, are we planning on staying here or are we planning on leaving here? I'm planning on leaving. Amen. Hallelujah. Thought about that monarch butterfly. I said, some of them travel. They come from Canada. They travel down through the states. Some of them, they said, will go over to Mexico. And some of them end up down to Cuba. And some of them down onto the coast of California. And said that some of them will travel 1,802 miles. And then they make that trip back. Amen. I thought about how when they're in the caterpillar state, it says they eat and they eat and they eat. And then eventually said they find a twig to hang down off of from the milkweed. And they begin to weave a cocoon around themselves. And I thought this bride has been in a cocoon of seven church ages. And I'll tell you what, she's getting ready to come forth. Amen. She's been maturing in there and she's getting ready to come forth. As Brother Branham said, the whole bride, not just a bride from one age, but he said the whole bride, a bride, part members of the bride from every age down through the seven ages. And think about that. The whole bride coming together. Think about that. Sometimes we think about the marriage supper of the Lamb and we just think about, you know, just people that we've known. But it's going to be the entire bride. The entire bride of Jesus Christ sitting at this marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. From Paul's day all the way down through every church age until this last age. Hallelujah. That's going to be a whole lot of people. I think about that picture. Maybe some of y'all seen it. A picture of it's supposed to be a representation of the marriage table, the Lamb's table. Have you seen that picture? It seems like it goes on and on and on. They got it, every place is set, and it just seems like it just goes on and on and on and on and reaches on. I don't know how it's going to be set up, but I know there's going to be a whole lot of people there. All the bride from all the ages on down, amen, coming forth out of those seven church ages. Hallelujah. Turn with me to John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You know, when you would look at that old ugly caterpillar, there's no way you could look at that and think that it was going to come out to look like a beautiful butterfly. And I thought, that's the way we look. We must look in this fallen state, condition that we're in. Where we grow old and we grow weary and we have sicknesses and things that we have to battle through. And by looking at what this old body looks like, there's no way of telling what it's going to look like when it's renewed. Amen. I'll tell you what, you'll recognize me by the Spirit because you won't recognize me by sight. Because I look at myself in the mirror and wonder, how in the world did I ever get into this shape? How in the world did I ever get to look like this? And I remember what I looked like when I was young. And I look at those pictures and I don't hardly even recognize who it is. But, you know, everything that caterpillar needs to become a butterfly is in it. It eats and eats and eats of the food the one type of food that is especially for it. And everything it needs to become a butterfly is in it. When it builds that cocoon, why, there's nothing added to that thing to make it more to become a butterfly. Everything it needs to become that's already in it. And I thought, everything that we need for that body change, it's already in us now. Brother Bram said, when you're born again, that everything you have need of is in you then. He said, even including the rapture. Amen. Right in you. Amen. How that is that body going to change? I don't know. And thank God we don't have to figure out how it's going to be. All we got to do is believe it. I know it's going to happen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, as the days go by, I look more and more and more forward to that time coming. I thought, and I wrote a few things down from thoughts that I had. And I thought, if that caterpillar had feelings and emotions, the only thing that he would say that made him happy, gives him joy, is eating of the right plant. And I thought that's the same thing way within the process of transformation of God's sons and daughters. You might look at them in this state and say, how ugly. Well, they're not perfect. Why, you shouldn't be happy and shouting. But we are happy. What makes us happy? What we're eating. I tell you what, I long to get around where the table spread. Amen. Every Sunday, every Thursday, where the table spread and we can pull up a chair and just partake of God's word. Amen. We pull strength from it. Amen. God said unto Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. My grace is sufficient. You know, I thought of how that caterpillar turns into a beautiful butterfly. To me, that spoke of grace. What could change something like that from being ugly to being beautiful? It's something just the amazing grace of God. And that's the same thing with the wretched sinner. What can change him to become something beautiful in Christ? It's the grace of God. In the message of a super sign, Brother Branham said, God gave us a sign. This will be a sign. God will be dwelling in flesh. He thought that would attract the people. It did. For as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God. And it's supposed to attract the evening light people when that same light shows. God and Christ are one. Peter said, let it be known unto you that God made this same Jesus whom he crucified, both Lord and Christ, a sign, evil spoken of, but the evening light is here. Everything, he said, he gave us power to become what? Sons and daughters of God. In the midst of perfection, he said, now he knows you, he knows every one of you. He knows just what you're desiring. And as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become sons and daughters of God. The mess of the mighty God unveiled before us, he says, but when he come, expressed exactly like the Testament had said he would be expressed, then all those who were redeemable believed it, because they were thoughts of God. The attributes of him at the beginning was made flesh and redeemable and was brought back to God. As many as received them, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, because they were redeemable. They were from the beginning in the expression of God. Amen. Why was it that he had the power, that we received the power to become sons and daughters of God? Because we were redeemable. I thought about that woman at the well, that time Jesus told his disciples, I have need to go by Samaria. And he went down there and he sat by the well at a time when all the pure maidens and all had already been there and left. And here come this woman. And he said, give me a drink. She said, it's not customary for a Jew to ask Samaritan such a thing. And he said, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink. And I'd give you a drink that you'd never thirst again. Why, what she must have thought. She talked then about the well there and that Jacob had dug that well. But that wasn't the water he was talking about. And as he began to talk to her, and she said, well, some say worship at Jerusalem, others say worship in the mountain. And he said, there come a day when you shall worship him in only in spirit and in truth. He said, go get your husband. You know how the story goes. She said, I have no husband. He said, it's true. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not yours. She said, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Brother Branham, talking about that, he said, what was the difference between that woman at the well and the priest down at the temple? The priest, they called him Beelzebub. They couldn't recognize him as God. And here they were supposed to be holy men. Here was this woman in a ill-famed state that she was in. She couldn't even come to the well during the time when others came. She had to come at a different time because of who she was. And I thought again about how Jesus said, I have need to go by there. And Brother Branham said the difference between them was she had representation and the priest didn't. There was something in her that made her say, I perceive thou art a prophet. Amen. What a difference between what the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees had said. But I have need to go by Samaria. Why? He had a redeemable thought down there. Someone to be redeemed. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad one day when he had a need to come by my way. Amen. I'm happy about that. Amen. Brother Branham in the harvest time said, no man can come to me, said Jesus, except the Father draws him. And all the Father hath, past tense, given me, will come to me through the word. How can they come unless they were all that they were foreordained to come? As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, see, because their names was on the book. He come to redeem what was on the book. Our names are on the Lamb's book of life. Before the foundation of the world, before that your great, 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 great grandparents ever existed, your name was on the Lamb's book of life. You were foreordained to be called. You were foreordained to be redeemed. Hallelujah. I like that song that sings about when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. It said, he knew me, yet he loved me. He knew the stinking, rotten sinner that I was, yet he loved me. Because he knew me before the foundation of the world. You were a thought in his mind before the world was ever formed. Hallelujah. Praise God. The message of Christ, he said, the common people heard him gladly. As many as come to him, to them gave he the power to become sons and daughters of God. In glory tonight, anchored away until the day of complete redemption, the body being raised again, the body change. Until the day of complete redemption. I tell you what, friends, one subject I love to preach about, and that's the body change. I love to preach about that, and I love to hear about it. It gives me joy to know that change is coming. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. I know I just talked about it on Thursday night, but looking forward to the resurrection time. And I am. I'm looking forward to that time. Amen. I thought about when my dad, after my dad passed away, I thought about that song. I can't remember the group that sings it right now. I think it might be Inspirations or something, but they sung, "I got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. I got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday." Each day that goes by, we got more to go to heaven for. Hallelujah. We got loved ones waiting. Hallelujah. Identified Christ of all ages. He said, "The word was made manifest. As many as received him, to them gave you the power to become sons of God." And so it is today when we see this great Holy Ghost move made manifest. As many as received him, to them gave you the power to become sons and daughters of God. Jesus Christ identified the same by his word in every generation. How do we know that the word is in our midst? Well, we see the transformation power that it's having in our lives. It's transforming us. There's a change taking place in you, which is proof of the power and demonstration of God's word. Hallelujah. We can testify we're not the person we used to be. Hallelujah. I like how Brother Branham talked about that one woman said, I'm not what I should be, not what I want to be yet, but I'm so glad I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. I'm so glad God has changed my life. I think about when I was running from the Lord. And I've given many of y'all my testimony. When I was running from God, I was in the army, and I wanted to get away. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to do any of those things. And I was running from that call. And I'd run as far as I could run. And then there was, I thought about Jonah running from God, not wanting to preach. And there was a great storm that came up. When I was over in Desert Storm, I told another fellow that was a friend of mine, I told him, I said, "Have you ever heard that story of Jonah?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I'm Jonah." I said, "I'm not trying to make everything about me, but this storm's come up because of me." I can remember praying and trying to pray, and it just like there was just a dark sheet dropped down, and it was just like I was praying and nothing existed that I was trying to pray to. And I can remember then the day that we were moving out to cross into Iraq on the to go to the battlefront, and I was in the truck and I was praying to myself, and I had a boy that worked for me was driving the truck, and I was just praying, and I said, "Lord, if I went too far where there's no hope for me, and I understand that, and if I die here and I go to hell, I understand it's because of what I've done." And I said, "But if you'll allow me to go back, even if there's no hope for me, if you allow me to go back, I'll teach my kids about you and teach them to go to church." And you know, there was just a presence of God settled down in that cab of that truck. And it was so real that the boy that was driving, he looked at me and he said, "What is that?" And I told him, I said, "I'm backslid. I've been running from God." And I said, "That's the presence of God. He's heard my prayer." And he got to weeping and he said, "I'm a backslidden Pentecostal boy from Kentucky." He said, "And I need to get right with God. I've been running from God." But I thought just how real the presence of God was in a truck, to where he turned and looked at me and said, "What is that?" That's just how real he is. That's how real his presence can be. He's still the same today. It's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same. His presence can still come down in such a way like that in our midst. And that's what I long for. That's what I look for. Show us the Father. I'm glad that he went away to prepare a place for us. Where he's at, we may be also. I'm looking forward to going to that place. Amen. I'm looking forward to going there, aren't you? Amen. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thankful, dear God, this morning for your mercy, God. Lord, how, Lord God, that you saw us and you called us, Lord. Lord, I never done nothing that was worthy. Lord, all I ever done would have made me unworthy. But Lord, my worth wasn't to be found in myself, but it's to be found in you. It's because you were worthy, thy Lamb of God. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the work that you do in their lives, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that as a church, may we continue, Lord, to just take hold of this word that's been revealed to us and hold on, looking and waiting, Lord, for the coming of the Lord. Lord, I pray that may, God, that we get our focus, Lord, on the right things, God. Keep our minds and our eyes, Lord, where they should be. Lord, hallelujah. I pray, dear God, for those that are not able to be here this morning. I don't know why that some were not able to be here, but you know, Lord, and you know if they were sick or if something had come up, and I pray you'll touch them, Lord, and help them today. Lord, there's different ones as I look out among the congregation. I miss them, Lord, when they're gone. Yes. Dear Lord, I don't know, Lord, if some way that they're discouraged. I pray, dear God, that may, Lord, the Holy Spirit would bring encouragement to them, Lord, to stay in there and stay in the battle and keep fighting, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your people now, I pray, dear God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Let's sing "There's a River."
And there is Supply.